myself will begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, March 10th, 2014, at 6:31 in the evening. Would you please take a moment and review the notes that were presented, or that are presented from the February 24th meeting?
I pre-review those. I'm fine with that.
I'm good with them.
Patrick?
Yeah, fine. Thanks, Bob.
The first order of business this evening will be the copier refresh, and that's from Mike Wood, and I'll hand it off to Mike.
And I actually have two recommendations that will be coming to you tonight. First is the copiers, and we refresh the copiers that we have for the last 10 years every 3 years. It's done on a fair market value lease. So every 3 years at the end of that lease, our intention is to send those back to the leasing company and then refresh the new copiers. So we looked at several different models, several different vendors. The final four vendors are in the board report with their pricing and the brand and the model that they recommended. What we are going to recommend is the Konica model. We've used Konica in the past, about 3 years ago. It's a very reliable copier. Good service support. We buy directly from Konica rather than a third party. So ensures quick service, quick turnaround, and that was our experience when we had them previously. And their cost was also at the bottom of the range as well for the hardware and the service and support. So the way we break these out, the way I break them out, is I look at the hardware cost first, and the hardware is what we really lease. We don't lease we don't lease any of the service or any of the maintenance. That's done on a quarterly basis. It's billed out. And we review those services annually, even though these prices are locked in for the course of a three-year lease. Our plan, again, would be to lease these copiers through a three-year fair market value lease. This would be through American Capital rather than through Konica. The cost for the hardware is $200,203. That's if we would just buy them outright. The annual lease for the hardware would be $67,100. Annually, we would pay that. Over the course of the three-year investment, it would be $390,750, and that would include also what we anticipate for supplies and maintenance. So when I looked at the supplies and maintenance part of that, and that covers everything, that covers maintenance breakage, any kind of service calls that we have, as well as staples, other supplies, toner, pretty much everything but the paper. And that's billed out for the black and white copiers, or the black and white copiers would be 0.0046 per copy, cents per copy. And we do about 9 million copies annually, so we would anticipate that coming out to somewhere around $41,000. That would be at the top end annually for the copier service and supplies. There's also one color printer that we have here at CSO. That was also part of the previous lease, and we would replace that with another color copier of similar style, similar features. And that one we look at maybe about 750,000 copies annually, and that's billed out by black and white copies and color copies separately. So. And we'd anticipate somewhere around $1,500 annually for supply, service, and maintenance for that. So total annual for both of those would be about $63,000 for supply, service, plus the $67,000 annually for the lease. So that's our recommendation moving forward. We still do a three-year fair market value lease through American Capital. And then at the end of the lease, plan to return those copiers back to the lease. Any questions on that?
On page six, the last one, the
COTG?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that correct on the color, .0028?
That is correct. That's for supplies and service, correct.
Okay.
They came in considerably higher on the hardware. And COTG is actually the company that we had released the current copiers from. And total investment would be a little bit cheaper with Xerox. But having had two rounds of Xerox copiers in the district and considerable struggles getting these copiers implemented, I felt like for the time lost and just dealing with the lost time and also the motivation of dealing with it. It was a better move to go with Konica, having a previous experience with them and a much more reliable copyist as well.
Why did we leave Konica before?
Cost. I think COTG came at a considerably lower cost. This time around, Konica came in much more competitive, particularly on the hardware end of it. And that was the main reason.
Matter of fact, I think these are cheaper prices than we had 3 years ago.
They're not 3 year old machines, are they?
Brand new machines. Brand new machines.
Recycled. I think we're good.
I'm good. The next one is the iPad refresh. And hard to believe, but we're hitting the end of a 3 year lease with the iPads already. At least one iteration of
them. Wow.
Yeah. So these have kind of come in cycles and phases. So this is one phase of the rollout. These iPads are throughout the district, mainly at the grade schools. There are some at Hadley. But these would be primarily in the grade schools. So the initial purchase was for $140. The most cost-effective way to buy in this kind of quantity is in packs of 10. We get the best price break for that. And a pack of 10 is $4,790, so about $479 per unit. And this is an apples-to-apples kind of comparison. This is the next gen, so to speak. This is the next gen of that particular model. And so it's got all the newest features, but it is still 16 gig. It's not the highest-end storage you can get. It's Wi-Fi only. We don't do data packages with these. We only ride our internal Wi-Fi. So there really aren't any additional costs, with the exception of the apps that we've already purchased for the most part. We still get requests on a regular basis for additional apps, but this is really just a refresh to replace the existing iPads.
And you have the protective case with it.
The Apple Care?
Yeah.
Right.
Because nowadays, Apple's a lot more fragile.
Well, and they've held up fairly well for us, but the Apple Care has worked nicely. It's mostly depot service. I mean, basically, we just kind of ship them back to Apple, and I think they just ship us a new one. Mm-hmm. And it's been a system that's worked out fairly well. We actually see a lot more breakage on the laptops than we do on the iPads, but I did get one in today that had a minor crack in it, so I didn't have to go back. But yeah, we do cover these. And like I say, most of the apps are already in place and purchased. We just kind of refresh those onto the new ones and take them off the old ones. Those as well will go back to the leasing company. So with any of these small devices, particularly ones that age quickly and get replaced with new technology fairly quickly, we like to keep those on a three-year cycle. As well as the constant use and wear and tear that could take over 3 years. And it also keeps us up to date with the current technology, particularly with iPads. So those seem to come out with a new model every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I think about, and this is like old school thinking, I think, but you have all these different hardware choices. And you got the iPads here, you have the laptop here, and then Hadley, when we were listening to you give your presentation, it's a different type of tablet.
Well, at Hadley, what I'll be bringing that at the next finance meeting will be Chromebooks. So it's a different type of laptop, basically.
Different type of laptop. So, and kids today, seeing at least my experience with kids, two of them, but I also see other ones, because they just get comfortable with no matter what type of device.
I would agree.
They pick it up very quickly.
Yeah. It's like it's very extreme.
I've got two at home myself, and I can put pretty much anything in front of them, and I'd say within a day they'll have it figured out and certainly know how to get on their favorite games.
My son, when he was 2.5, though, did keep touching my screen on the desktop. So, but he learned quickly not to touch that thing. But I'm with you. I just want to
have a touch screen before you know it.
I know. But mine's like, so I'm saving every penny. I'm 6, 7 years old. Software's not kind of agreeing anymore. Anyways, enough.
And that is true. And actually, we kind of consolidated a lot of our hardware platforms from what we had several years ago. We might have the same, it may be a laptop, but we may have 6 different versions of that type of laptop. So part of the plan was to kind of flatten out those different models just for ease of support on our end, dealing with parts, re-imaging drivers, all software that goes along with it, and we've actually managed to kind of consolidate those into some singular platforms, which makes it a lot easier for us to support, and I think it's a lot easier even for teachers to get used to, because I think they struggle sometimes a little bit more than the students do to go along with all these different platforms.
When we do this podcast, has there been any use of retail term slippage?
As far as what? Dropping out of their hands? Or
yeah, mysteriously disappearing?
Yeah, there's always that chance, but we do have the location services in place,
okay.
And we're going to roll that out in full this coming summer, so at least we can tell whether it's in the district or not. Okay. And we do inventory these every summer. So we get a head count on those and make sure we have what we're supposed to have, because at the end of the lease, they do need to go back to the lease.
How many are we losing a year?
I don't think we've lost any so far. We've had a couple that had broken,
okay.
and needed to be replaced, like the one we had come in today. But we've got about almost 600 of them, just iPads alone.
And they're all coming back?
In service. Well, we haven't gotten to the summer yet, so we're hoping. But usually these stay in the buildings. They should be staying in the buildings.
Okay.
They're really not intended to be taken home.
Patrick, we've been pretty fortunate with that. About 3 years ago, we had a couple of laptops turn up missing in Hanford, but other than that, we haven't had any issues.
Well, I'm good with the iPad.
Okay.
Questions? We're done.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Michael.
The next order of business then this evening is a 2014 Illinois Central School Bus Contract Extension. This we went out to bid as a consortium. There's districts 87, 41, 16, and 89. We formed a consortium to go out and bid for transportation services a number of years ago. And putting that group together resulted in significant savings to the consortium of about $2.2 million overall, of which about $400,000 was just District 41's. So a pretty substantial savings. You know, it took our transportation fund that had been running in a red for a number of years to a positive, to a surplus situation. It has been a series. It was originally a three-year contract. We are now in one-year rollovers, and that's what I'm proposing here, is a rollover to the 14-15 school year. We have met with Illinois Central. They were looking for substantially more than what was originally provided for in our contract, double-digit increase, but we held the line, and so therefore we have an agreement in front of us where they are proposing to actually abide by what was proposed in the original agreement. That's for CPI or 1.7%. So this recommendation is before you this afternoon, this evening. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And because it's just part of the normal process that we go through every year at this time, and we're not proposing any substantial changes, we put this on the board agenda for action this evening, just so we can clear this matter off and get the contract signed and this issue resolved.
Just quite a quick question. So this is the last year of this agreement?
No, we have one more. This is the last year of the original three-year agreement.
So we have 2 1-year?
We have 2 1-year rollovers, and it's okay. Our expectation that we'll roll it again next year. And that also calls for a CPI increase. Now, I will tell you, we had two or three meetings, I think probably December, January, where I came back to Paul, and they were kind of playing hardball with us. And what they wanted us to do was accept something greater than 10 or 15% increases. And we stuck to our guns and said, hey, this is the original agreement. If you sign the agreement, we need you to abide by it. And they went back, and that's the contract that you have in front of you this evening.
Okay. So we have another year of this at CPI.
That's our intention.
Okay. I'm good.
Any questions? As you can see, that's a pretty substantial amount of money, and this is just for regular education. This is not special education, which is another $400,000 or $500,000 a year.
Which are our Citran?
Correct.
Devices we get.
The little buses you see running all over the district.
Would it make sense to put the special education under this?
Citran specializes in special education transportation. This is not really a specialty that Illinois Central.
So it doesn't, they don't offer that type of specialty.
They might. That's not their general line of business. They might be somewhere down the road, but that is not what they do. Septran really does it for the majority of the districts here in the area.
Do
do you think we're going to have a strong increase when this is up for renewal?
Well, when we go up for renewal, we'll take it out to bid again. And then it will be amongst a Illinois Central for a student, West Coach. I mean, there's a half dozen different transportation companies that operate within our area here. So, again, it'll be just another bid. We'll see where everybody comes. But the fact of the matter is we probably received $400,000 a year in savings over the past 3 years, and if you roll that out for the next two, we probably will have saved the district $2 million over a five-year period of transportation costs.
That's good. God love capitalism.
Yeah. I love open bids.
this is 11 million divided by four, right, Bob?
Yeah. Of which ours was $400,000. The high school was over $1 million, maybe $1.2 million. And District 16 was probably $100,000 in the balance over at 89. We're the largest of the elementary districts in a consortium.
And what none of you guys know is that the guy that was ultimately putting this transportation consortium together and held it together in order to put these tremendous savings for our district and other districts is Bob. I mean, this is Bob's
band.
Bob is the brainchild of this.
Well, Ann is the one who says, why don't you talk to your fellow business managers? That's how it all got started.
But, I mean, you talked to them.
I brought the
and
group
put
together.
It all together and put
take the compliment.
Savings was $2 million
over a 5 year period.
What's the whole savings? Because I mean, all the other districts save more. Well,
it's 2.2 million times 5 years. If you want to take it out to that.
The original bid. Did we charge for Bob's services to the other districts for that?
You haven't been reading the intergovernment agreement.
Yeah, I have. I want to find out how we can. He's a profit center.
All right. So we're good with that?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Good with that?
All right.
Moving.
Good job.
Thank you. Next order of business then this evening is the Churchill donation, and I'm going to leave that in Paul's hands.
As you saw on the board report, anonymous donor wants to begin the donation process of $10,000 for a Lego program called Storyteller, which connects to literacy grades 2 through 5. They would start there, and the total donation could be up to $50,000. But per board policy, it does need to be approved by the board members. So I put that out there. I think it's going to be doing some amazing good work within our school. It's an incredible opportunity. It's something I haven't been around my 24 years. I've never had one individual step up like this for where they were really working directly with the school to make sure that the program fit what the school needed. Sometimes when somebody comes in with a lot of money, they're saying, this is what you will do, this is how it's going to be done, and say thank you when the cameras roll. It's been very different. Been a lot of work that Scott and this family have done behind the scenes. So with that, I'll hand it over to you guys.
Well, I think it's great that these people want to do it. It's fabulous that there's people in the community that want to reach out to kids and help them.
Mm-hmm.
The one question I have is, it's specific to Churchill.
Correct.
And do the other schools, you know, would they benefit from having this program in the long term?
I think anybody would benefit from having the program or a program like this in the long run. But I think the other piece that we'll be able to see is its effectiveness.
Right.
Honestly,
it's like a pilot.
It is. It absolutely is. Because we've seen other Lego programs. This is the first time I've seen Story Starter. I know about many of their other Lego types of programs, but this is the first time for Story Starter.
Okay.
This is a tremendous gift. What's the downside? Why wouldn't we recommend this? I don't see a downside.
Can I
please
on that?
Yeah.
I have one.
not a downside, but you know, you never look a gift horse in the mouth. But has our legal team looked? You know, we know who these people are. This isn't, you know, in the banking industry, it's AML, money laundering. You don't want to insult the donor, but we don't. If this recipient or if this donor gets publicized and there's bad press, bad something, you took $50,000 from some guy who's running something over there that's not above the table kind of thing.
So we've been in contact with how to hold the money, because originally, you know, they wanted to go through the PTA, but with that type of money, it would put the PTA in a totally different type of bracket. So they came to Bob. They worked directly with Bob on how the money would be sent to him and what he would ultimately do with it with his account. So I'll hand it over to you.
They want the money specifically set aside for Churchill, identified and associated with Churchill. And I told them I would set up a suite of accounts, both revenue and expenditure, to provide for full transparency and accounting when they need it in terms of the expenditures that are run through that account.
Yeah, but your piece on who this person is?
Yeah.
No. Have we ran a background check on him? No.
It's through Wells Fargo Bank, because that's who he's
best trusted.
I believe he is employed with Wells Fargo as an officer in some capacity, and I believe ultimately that's where the money is coming from, but I'm not exactly sure on that. There is a relationship there with Wells Fargo, because we've gotten emails with his name and title.
Well, Patrick's point, I mean, you're pretty right on. I mean, if you're accepting a gift, you've, like anyone, you want to make sure that you're accepting a gift, and it's a great gift, so you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. But at the same time, if it became public and it was somebody that you wouldn't normally accept a gift from, and maybe there's nobody like that, but maybe there is a group, then you want to make sure that you're not doing that to turn something so positive into incredibly negative. So a little due diligence on the
donor is a wise guy. Family member of ours.
Okay.
So their kids do attend our schools. They have been for, I think this is their second year in the district.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a family who just moved in, who has no connections to our school district, who doesn't have kids, just an outside donor giving us money. But Patrick.
So how's it structured? Do we have an agreement with them, a donor agreement, a charity agreement set up with them, or are we just, when the money comes in, we spend it?
It's through the account that we set up specifically for the items listed for the materials, the training, of the after-school activities.
Now, my only thought with this was that I've talked to Paul about this. I said, you know, is there a reason that we wouldn't run it through the district's 501(c), the PEP group, which has that 501(c) designation. I don't know if that would insulate us.
Well, that is, that 503 is an entity in and of itself, and it's arm's length away from the district.
Yeah, so it's not ours.
Right. So could we not do that?
This donation, they part of their requisites were that they would fund the money directly to the district, and they just want to make sure that it doesn't sort of become a general operating expenditure, that we specifically set up accounts that will designate these revenues and expenditures for this donation.
Yeah, they,
so I've spoken.
They wanted. Accounts. They also wanted to have an input on how it was going to be expensed, that it was not on just anything across the board. They've owned this piece from the first day I met them all the way through, that this is something that's really passionate of theirs. They want to make a difference for Churchill. Their hope is that other parents throughout the district see this and begin to donate in larger sums than what has previously been done. But do I have no indication that these people are nothing but caring, giving community members that want to make a difference for Churchill.
Does what's his name? The gentleman part over here.
So early on when we were when we set the account up, did you spoke with
Is Todd aware of the donation and the way this is going to be
administered? Todd. I haven't spoken to Todd. I've spoken to our auditors in terms of how
we can
handle this transaction. I haven't spoken to Todd.
So just the auditors?
Correct.
That's, maybe we should just monitor past Todd and see what.
This is on our agenda tonight. Is that correct?
It is. It is taking action tonight.
So.
Well, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, I'm going to say, is there, first of all, from a timing issue, is there a problem if we delay it one month?
There very well could be. I mean, this family is really frustrated with all of the red tape that's going on, and they're trying to give money.
Right.
And they're like,
people
really?
Trying to give it.
I know. And I get that when you're giving this large of amount, it's not as easy. But.
So, can I make this? I can use the words that I'm trying to use, but recommendations suggesting. Or whatever we call it, without voting, could we say that, you know, we'll keep this in front of the finance if they decide to fund more money that we.
That sounds really good to me. How about we take on the $10,000 with any additional funding coming back to the group, because I think they. One, it's pretty late in the year. They're trying to get this up for the remainder of the year.
That's good. Let's move forward.
And that way I can bring the other pieces to Todd and others because our accountants have looked at it. They said, this is how we set it up. I'm very comfortable with that. That way we can almost split the baby on this one.
You got it.
All
right.
Well, wow. This is a record. Oh.
But I have a couple items.
Oh.
I don't want to go into intergovernmental agreements today either. So I
have to move the chains.
A couple of things I'd like to go over as long as we have time. I did. The order is any order you want, but I think I'll just start with. Last board meeting, there was a lot of questions going back and forth about at the end about a recommendation regarding the funding of the 16 classrooms. So we're seeking credit approval from MB. They gave us some more data.
Yeah, credit approval has gone through. Right now, we were going to try to close this week, but everybody just felt a little uncomfortable with it. MB, our attorneys with Jeff and Cutler, and I didn't see a reason to really want to push this forward that quickly.
And I'm fine. I mean, with that, you want to do things comfortable. You want to make sure the documents are what they need to be.
Correct.
You know, yield maintenance language is in there, like they propose, and our council's fine with that. You had rerun your numbers for the budget given a new amortization schedule,
correct.
And you're comfortable with that because we are, when we originally did this, the numbers were a little more into the future. When we ran your 10-year projections back in October.
Right.
So now you caught them up for the speed up of the funding.
Well, I caught them up in terms of having both the premiums and the interest included in our total cost as presented in the 10-year financial plan. I updated that on Friday when I got the information back from MB, and I updated the 10-year financial forecast for Paul and reviewed it very briefly with him this morning. And it does provide for solid financial funding over the next 10 years.
Okay. And that I think that's important that we talk about that. I think the other thing is we made a decision based on a lot. We vetted this. We went through a lot of different scenarios, the whole group. We had Dean and Erica come in and add their two cents in and ask some good questions and bring some good points in. So it was not just us three. So I felt very good about that, and I appreciate them coming in and spending the time with us since we do have so much fun at the Finance Committee. So
wouldn't miss it for the
world. Can I ask a quick question?
We pick up members.
Bring fun to the meeting.
Well, I was going to have MB available should we need them on the 24th. I was going to have them.
I don't know that we do. I don't feel like we do.
Do we have their the current rate?
Well, Well, they're not going to set the rate till 2 days prior.
No, but I thought they were going to keep us
up to date
in terms of, you know, what the spread rate is.
I think if we do have an approval tonight, if we do get a thumbs up or a whatever, a vote that's 4-3 or whatever.
Positive vote.
Thank you for the term. If we have that, then we would like. I think it'd be good to let us have updates. They should be supplying you updates.
Absolutely.
I mean, we put a lot of blood, sweat into this, and I'd like to know it. It's kind of, to me, it's important for our district. It's one of the main reasons I ran is the facility issue. So, to me, I want to see the financing part. The one thing I want to point out, we analyzed a lot of risk, and it was a risk-cost analysis as opposed to risk-return. Mm-hmm. And I know I shared some of the information with you guys in talking about this. When we looked at it, we thought funding up front right now, this March or April, whenever if it spills into April, we're fine with that, or I'm fine with that. And that there's a cost to doing that, and we recognize there is. But the risks of going into the future are what we didn't feel comfortable with. And a lot of it is, you know, you have to do the analysis, hardcore analysis, but you have to understand the risk that you can't quantify because you don't know the magnitude of the spikes in interest rates or other events that could happen on your financial sheet, your P&L statement, if you will. If there's suddenly a cost that comes in, if we use those reserves already, we could be out of balance in our reserves for what the board wants. So there's a lot of these risks that we looked at, and two of them, and that's one of them, but two of the other main ones that we saw out there is if interest rates go up, two things happen. One is we're going to pay more in interest. So
over the life of the loan, not just
right. So I did some analysis that I just like to get into the record that if at a 4% discount rate, and you can use discount rates anywhere you want, interest rates are low, you're looking at roughly an NPV value. This is average balance because I couldn't go through. If you change the interest rates, the payments change too. So I just did an average balance, which actually the number is higher than this if you use an average balance because our balance at the beginning is higher. When your net present value, the values at the bigger, I mean at the front, have a bigger impact on your total. But it's roughly about $448,000. That's a significant number if we were to have a spike of 1% or 100 basis points. That's really not so much a spike in today's market. We've had over 120 basis points increase in the last 12 months. Spikes are 2%, 3%. So that would be exasperated even more. The other thing is, we would be able to borrow less because our financial statements only allow us to borrow so much money. So then how much less would it be? And once again, this is a different amortization schedule than your home mortgage. We're running my HP, doing like a home mortgage. It's about $500,000 for every 100 basis points. And that's significant because where are we going to get that money? It's going to come from the reserves, which we don't want to jeopardize. So to me, that is two of the main risks. So then you got to look at what is the cost. You know, and at a 4% discount rate, the cost, and all I'm doing is taking and moving 12 months out the funding to next March instead of this March. And that cost is $84,000. So we have to ask ourselves, which we did before, given that amount of risk, is this a large cost or a small cost? And I think, to me, it's a relatively small cost. And I think that's important in our analysis when we're going about that. Once we got the amortization schedule in, we could run all those numbers. There's assumptions to death in there. I mean, and that's the thing. And it's hard to do that. I mean, a lot of things can change between now and the next 12 months. And then once you take those risks off the table, they're gone. You're moving forward. And I think that's a key point in this recommendation. I just wanted to go through that for everybody.
And like we talked about last week, we spoke at a couple of different locations, even a 1% increase could cost us $500,000 over the life of the loan.
Yeah, that's 440.
That's just a one-year calculation. Well, how does that look over the life of over 15 years?
I mean, net present value is almost $500,000. And a 1% is not a spike in interest rate when our interest rates have been so much higher than they are today. I mean, quite frankly, a spike, when spikes happen, I mean, over a year, it'll be a 3% increase. And that's when all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, 3%. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't think that was going to happen. Well, you know, we're not in the business of guessing what interest rates are going to do, but we are in the business of eliminating risk if we can for a small amount of cost like we are. And I think that's the key point of this, that the risk of really great and good really hurt your balance sheet at the end of the day if not done properly. So
it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to figure out what, you know, what that spread would is net of what we would save if we left it in the bank for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 15 basis points or 10 basis points.
You look at what we're gaining now in terms of business
number.
It's revenue. I can remember 5-6 years ago we were making $1.2 million a year in interest revenue, and now it's about $165,000 a year.
But it's so nominal that you don't have to really look at that in this analysis. I mean, really, all you look at is you're funding 15 years.
There's a bunch of potential downside
today, right? And the downside is, the downside is so great.
Yeah.
And that's what we were trying to communicate when we were making this recommendation. And I just wanted to put a few more numbers on it for us. So.
And again, the big thing for me was what's the yield maintenance number? And if rates go up, the yield maintenance number goes down.
Right. 100 basis points, 1%.
It's almost a one for one.
Yeah, you end up with a zero the next year.
Right.
So you could prepay it if you wanted, or if you were under budget, you could prepay it if you have an increase in interest rate.
But I mean, it's kind of like having a mortgage rate. If rates go up, why would you pay it off?
Right.
Right.
Right. Then it actually makes sense to keep it.
Yeah, it becomes an asset on your books.
Right.
Really.
Right. Because you locked your borrowing costs. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Joe, thank you so much for putting that together and putting these spreadsheets together. Because I'm sure it took a bunch of time. I buy into your results. It all makes sense.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Anything
else?
Not on my end,
Joe.
I had a couple bills last time that I had questions on.
You know, there's no charge for any better. There's no charge. But go ahead.
I guess one, and I think I answered most of my own questions. I am astounded. One of them, I'm astounded by the landscaping guys that aren't billing us until now. For
amazes me too. And even when I speak to them and ask them for them more timely.
When I get a landscaping bill in February, I'm assuming it's for a snow plow, not for mulch.
No.
Like it was. So I was like, why are we putting mulch down? But I quickly answered that one. The snow plow, we do in some internal snow plow, but we also go outside for snow plow.
We have four trucks.
Right.
Four trucks that are out snow plowing every day. But when you have the kind of snow or the amount of snow that's been this year, we just can't keep up with it. And what we do with snow is we just push it. We plow and push. There has been so much snow this year, we've had to pick it up and move it. If you go out to Forest Glen or Hadley or any of our other buildings, you'll notice large piles of snow we're picking up and having to move it. When we had that snowfall 3 years ago, we spent about $45,000 or $50,000 in less than a week's period. I'll give you an example. Churchill was literally buried. We had to go in and dig the school out from the street all the way back to where the building sits.
That's amazing.
So it's a lot of money, but we don't have the capabilities of moving that ourselves.
Okay, but we do quite a bit on normal snow.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And another thing we do, I spoke with Dave on it. We do intend to take that out to bid this next year, then.
Okay.
We have not. There was an agreement signed by the previous director that carried us through this year. So which the contractor supplied for us.
Right, okay.
As the snow season was starting, but it is our intention to take this up to bid.
Right, you just do a per plow type of bid.
However it works out. Yeah.
Okay.
Dave will put it together. I'm sure we'll do a good job of it.
Okay. That makes sense. That's it. That's
no more questions on bills?
No, but I write them all.
Bob, did you put a blade on in the front of your car?
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. All right, so I think we're adjourned.
We're adjourned.